I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep us stuck. Smashing the Plateau is part of the Best Network, dedicated to supporting individual entrepreneurs who are experts in their field, but may not be an expert at running a business. Best Network is ideal if you are an expertise-driven solopreneur business owner with many years of experience in your field. If you are a consultant, coach, or professional selling your knowledge and creativity, we're here for you. If you join the Best Network, you'll receive access to the full Smashing the Plateau archive of over 350 episodes, and you'll receive expert, individual, and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands our goal of the show, helping you get your business the recurring revenue it deserves. With teams of like-minded and supportive professionals surrounding you, you'll be perfectly poised to smash the plateau in your business with our membership programs. To learn more about joining the Best Network and how to smash your plateau, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Mac Pritchard. Mac is the founder and publisher of Mac's List, an online community for people looking for rewarding, creative, and meaningful work. More than 80,000 people a month visit the site, which includes a job board and a blog and courses about the nuts and bolts of job hunting and career management. A leading career expert, Mac helps people who are looking for a job during all of life's transitions. Millennials getting a first job, midlife professionals switching sectors, parents getting back to work after raising a family, or baby boomers who want to change careers. Mac is proud to own two registered B Corp companies which use the power of markets to solve social and environmental problems. He's the author of Land Your Dream Job Anywhere and hosts the weekly podcast Find Your Dream Job. Mac, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, David.
It's a pleasure to have you on. Mac, why did you start Mac's List?
Well, I happen to be 59, and my career has been in politics and government, largely as a communications director. 17 years ago, I'm speaking to you from Oregon, I left a position in state government in the capital about 50 miles south of Portland, where I'm recording today's interview. I wanted to stay in touch with my contacts in state government. Nobody complains, David, about receiving a job posting. So I started a very informal list as a way of both remaining connected with professional colleagues, but also serving that community. The list grew very slowly, but about 8 years ago, it had become a part-time job. So I turned it into a website that charters employers for sharing these listings. And today, it's a mid-six-figure business that serves about 90,000 people a month, not only in Oregon and Washington here in the Pacific Northwest, but across the country.
Wow. First of all, 17 years is a long time.
It is.
And I'm really appreciating your persistence in sticking with this as it became a business. And I'm wondering, at what point did you realize that it was a business, that it had crossed that threshold?
7 years ago, because until 2010, it for me was a way of staying connected with people in my industry. That's how I thought of my list. And in those days, David, it served about 800 people a month. It was a very modest thing. But I didn't realize this at the time. I was providing a value both to employers and job seekers. I was solving a problem. For employers, I was sharing their job postings with qualified, well-educated professionals, exactly the kind of candidates they wanted to apply for their jobs. And for my professional colleagues, I was sharing with them news about jobs they wouldn't see anywhere else. And I have to be candid, the reason I started charging for the listings was it was taking me about a day a week to run this list. I was doing it very inefficiently. And I didn't know until I actually started charging for listings if employers would pay or not. I didn't invest any time in research. But in hindsight now, I see that because I was solving problems for two groups, I had a business. I just didn't realize what I had.
How did it feel to charge people without doing the research?
I was scary, to be candid. I didn't know that people would pay, but I went into it with a mindset of this. I thought, well, it's an experiment. And if people won't pay, then I can in all good conscience, stop doing this. And I had stopped sharing the postings for about a month because this was a side project for me. I also run another business, a public relations company that you mentioned in the introduction. And that was taking all of my time. And I worried that this online community was taking me away from my main occupation. Today, both firms are about the same size. They both employ five people separately, and they're both thriving. But at the time, I didn't realize that this e-commerce site had the potential it did. So not doing that research about and not talking to employers, that was risky, but it was a risk that paid off.
What kinds of mistakes do you see other, maybe you might call them emerging business owners, what kinds of mistakes do you see them making when they're crossing that same kind of threshold where there's a step that needs to be taken, there's some risk involved, and you don't really know what the outcome is going to be?
Well, a mistake that I made in this instance and I see others make is waiting too long. You, I think, nailed it a moment ago, David, when you said 17 years, that's a long time. So I probably could have launched MaxList as a business 1 or 2 years after I began. And in fact, I had people say to me, you should charge for this. And I said, oh, no one will ever pay for that. So don't wait. Get out and do some testing, whether it's launching a very modest pilot project or actually talking to the customers you want to serve. I think that's a mistake I certainly made myself and I see other business owners make.
And when you're talking to the customers that you want to serve, what should you be asking them?
Ask them about their problems. Don't start by telling them about your great idea that's going to make their life better. Find out about their needs and then listen and pay attention to what the customer says. That has been so valuable to me, not only with MaxList, but in my other business enterprises. Sometimes people will tell you things that you don't expect, and that might discourage you, but that's actually what they're doing is they're doing you a service. They're telling you, because if you come to them with a solution to that problem, they will hire you.
So what's an example of an unexpected thing that you heard from somebody?
Well, the first thing I heard with MaxList was that people were willing to pay for these listings. And that surprised me because I didn't understand the problem I was solving. And when I did sit down with employers, and we did this informally, David, and we also later invested in focus group research, what they told us was this, that the problem we were solving for them was we were getting their job postings in front of well-educated, highly qualified professionals who are employed. And those are the most desirable candidates. And employers said they weren't hearing from those applicants when they posted their position on other sites. They heard from them when they posted a job with MaxList because we had inadvertently created a community. And what we were doing, David, was mimicking what happens when hiring managers go out and look for candidates. They look for people they know or trust or who were recommended to them by people they trust. And the way they do that is they tap into their networks. I had created a network very slowly over time, but it was a valuable network to hiring managers. And through these conversations, I learned how valuable it was and why employers were willing to purchase listings with us and not other sites.
So what advice do you have for business owners that are in the same place where they're about to take the step and they're talking to their audience and realizing that what they have been creating has some value? What advice do you have about how to set that price for the initial offering?
It's a great question, because I think often we as business owners worry that we will price ourselves out of the market, so we immediately start offering discounts. I think what you need to do is look at the market and see what your potential customers are paying for those services. And then in those conversations with your potential customers, in addition to the solution that you offer them, ask them about other needs they might have. And you may have an opportunity to offer additional services that will allow you to charge a premium price. In the end, you know, there are 400,000 job boards out there in the world today, according to some estimates. And job boards, the industry I'm in, it's becoming a commodity. You can't compete with a site like Craigslist on price. You've got to offer value. So when you're thinking about pricing, not only do your market research, think about how you can position yourself as a premium product, as a leader, because your profitability will be so much higher. And again, you'll be, if you do it right and invest in the research and the conversations, you'll figure out needs that won't be apparent to your competition that will allow you to position yourself accordingly.
Yeah, that's great advice. Now, Mac, many people that are in the situation you were in when you first started charging for MaxList, a single person who has developed something of value or has a particular expertise, and that person is starting to sell that expertise. Many people in that situation struggle to generate consistent, stable revenue. What advice do you have for people about how to think about structuring their offering so that they're much more likely to have consistent revenue as opposed to something that is very either transactional or very cyclical in nature?
A couple things have worked well for us in our business. One is we offer bulk sales. So think about short or medium-term contracts and try to avoid one-off transactions. And how you structure those offers will depend on your business. In our case, we enter into 6 or 12-month contracts with employers, and we offer a certain number of listings. But by having an ongoing agreement, it brings some certainty to our revenue flow. So think about that, whether you do it through discounts or contracts. Second, I can't overstate the importance of having a sales pipeline. And that means you need to be clear about who you serve and want to serve, who your prospects are, and investing time into building relationships with them, because it takes time to bring a customer in. And so the conversations that start today might result in a sale in 3, 6, 12 months, or even longer, depending on your business. You have to set aside time both for you and your team and invest in that kind of process. And third, it takes so much effort and so much money to get a new customer in the door. Don't neglect the customers you have. Invest time in keeping those relationships strong and going back to them, and not only paying attention to the ties, but finding out what their upcoming problems and needs are, and think about how you can meet those needs.
Mac, you came out of the world of organizations and institutions. How did you learn the business strategy that helped you smash the plateau in your own business?
Well, as I mentioned, I had a career in politics and government. I was a speechwriter to a governor here in Oregon. I worked at City Hall in Portland as a communications director for a mayoral candidate. And I've also, along the way, David, worked for about a dozen election campaigns, both at the local and the national level. The experience I had on those campaigns was really pivotal in my business career that has followed in the last 10 years. A campaign is very much like a startup, and because it starts often like a startup company with a conversation around a kitchen table. You're talking to a candidate, and instead of asking for money from venture capitalists or small investors, it's the friends and family of the candidate who provide that seed money. And whether your campaign is 6, 12, or 18 months, or it's a city council race or U.S. Senate race, you've still got to build systems and organizations. And you got to do that very quickly. And that includes not only systems, but people and hiring staff and finding volunteers. And you've got a product. It's the candidate. And you know, on election day, when the polls close here in Oregon, it's at 8 o'clock, whether you've got a sale or not. And then if you're doing this work as a living, and I did for a while, you shut everything down and you start all over again. That was an invaluable experience for me as a small business owner. In addition to that experience, the other things that have been just pivotal have been investing in myself and my team by going to conferences and working with coaches and just being committed to being a learning organization.
What kinds of benefits do you find being a B Corp has?
Well, B Corp is, as you mentioned in the introduction, is a part of this global movement of businesses that organize, use business as a force for social good. And we manage for what's called the triple bottom line. It's not only profit, but it's for the environment and for community benefit. There are about 2,000 of them around the country, and it helps in a number of ways. First, because of the values that B Corp have, we attract a certain kind of person to our organization. They want to work for businesses that are making a difference in the community. It also helps with sales, and because there are employers out there in the Max List world who want to do business with a benefit corporation, a B Corp. And it helps distinguish us from other job boards. So there are a number of benefits to the status.
Mm. And let's talk a little bit more about what some of your differentiation is among the, you said it was 400,000 job boards?
Yeah, it's a big world.
Yeah, it's a big world. And as I said earlier, we talked about the fact that 17 years is a long time.
Yeah.
So what is it that sets you apart and really provides exceptional value?
It's a number of things. First, we're real people. If you spend time looking at job boards, they're highly automated. They're often very niche focused. And you can't identify who's behind them. But if you go to Max List, you'll see the team bios. We're 5 people. If there's a phone number, if you call us, we pick up the phone and we'll answer your questions. In addition to being a job board, we also provide content for job seekers. And I'm proud of the value we offer as a job board, David. But as you may know, there are estimates out there that as many as 8 out of 10 jobs are never advertised or posted anywhere. They're filled by word of mouth. And we meet so many job seekers who struggle with the basics of job hunting. And we distinguish ourselves from other job boards by providing practical tips about how to look for work. And we do that through our blog. We've got books, several online courses, and a weekly podcast.
Mm. And what does Max List look like in the future?
We'll continue to grow our education and training business. And we are also looking for partnerships with other career sites around the country, because we can't be everything to job seekers and employers. We're not resume writers, for example. We're not career coaches, but we can partner with people who provide those services and vet them and make them available to job seekers who come to our site. So that's an area that we've started to grow in the last 2 years, that education and training component, and we're excited to continue to grow in the years ahead.
Mac, we talked a little bit about how you've learned some of the business strategy that's been helpful to you. I wondered if we could take a minute to look at perhaps somebody you know personally who has done a remarkable job at smashing plateaus.
I was thinking about this before our conversation, and I've got a colleague here who is my age. His name is Terry St. Marie, and he spent his career in the cable industry outside of Oregon, but he moved to Portland 7 years ago. And his challenge, David, was he needed to reinvent himself. He wanted to get out of that sector. He was proud of what he'd accomplished, but he wanted to do something different. I think it's a common challenge either for business owners or people in their careers. You either want to start a new firm or you want to try a different career. And when I think about Terry, who is now the chief financial officer for a regional chain of handmade crafts in the Pacific Northwest, he did such a good job of, one, figuring out what he wanted to do next, the Second thing he did was he built a network of people in the business community here in the Northwest. And he was thoughtful about where he wanted to go. And he's found a job that he's very excited about. And he's helping to grow this chain that started with one store. And they're getting ready. They're looking at opening a location in Seattle. He's helped them as the chief financial officer grow from one operation to three. And he's done it in a very deliberate way.
Sounds like a great example.
Yeah.
Mac, you're based in Oregon, and this show is hosted in New York. And obviously, because of the internet, it can be listened to anywhere in the world. What, for those people that are outside the area where you currently have the most reach, what would you say is a message that would be important for them to hear about Mac's List?
I think one thing I've learned both in my career and in my business is the importance of not waiting to be picked. And we all need to get clear about our goals, whether it's for our business or our career. And once you know what you want to do, it's important to get really to educate yourself about what it's going to take to accomplish those goals. What I would say about Mac's List for people who want to learn more about how to get a job, not only that they can enjoy, but love, check out our website. And there's great practical tips there about how to look for work and how to manage your career. For people who are business owners, while we don't address how to run a business on our site, there's also good information about goal setting there that could be useful.
And how can listeners learn more about Mac's List and follow you?
Visit our website, maxlist.org. We have a weekly podcast, as you mentioned, Find Your Dream Job. Every week we talk to a different career expert. And I do have a book about looking for work, but it's also got lots of great information about goal setting and getting clear about your life purpose. It's called Land Your Dream Job Anywhere. It's available on Amazon, but you can download the first chapter for free by going to maxlist.org/work.
Mac, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. It's been a really informative discussion about the steps that you've taken to go through in your own business development, the valuable service that you offer for job seekers and also people that are trying to fill positions. So thank you for taking the time to join us today. My guest today has been Mac Pritchard, the founder and publisher of Mac's List. Thank you again, Mac, for joining us.
You're welcome, David. Thank you.
I'm David Schreiner Khan. Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, part of the Best Network, dedicated to supporting individual entrepreneurs who are experts in their field, but may not be an expert at running a business. If you're a solopreneur who's an expert in your field, but not necessarily smashing your plateau in business, and you want to ramp your recurring revenue, join our Best Network. Receive expert, individual, and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands on our goal of the show, helping you to get your business the recurring revenue it deserves. To learn more about joining the Best Network, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. Join us and smash your plateau.